This is Choices with your host, Judy Mario. Good morning. Good morning. This is Choices. And we know, of course, that everything in our lives, in every single thing, exists because we've made a choice about something. The choice that we made is what brought us to where we are today. And we must accept that where we are today is a consequence of our choices. Too often, our choices are determined by our emotional attitudes and reactions to external circumstances without due regard to thoughtful decision. And when we allow negative emotional reactions to direct our choices, we find ourselves facing consequences that we don't desire. Using our power of logical thinking helps us to make wiser choices, and then we can create more desirable results. Thank you for joining me today. Our topic is Attractiveness is an Attitude. Attractiveness is an attitude. What is attitude anyway? Attitude is an outward expression of an inner feeling. An outward expression of an inner feeling. Therefore, do we feel attractive? Do we feel that we are somebody important? And if so, how are we conveying that to other people? Because attractiveness is most definitely an attitude. You know, years ago, there was a researcher by the name of John T. Malloy, and he was best known for a book called Dress for Success, and I don't necessarily agree with everything he said in the book, especially that women should all wear little gray suits and look like little gray mice. I don't believe that. But I do believe that his research brought up some important points, and one of the things that he told us was that attractive women are 20% more likely to be hired by another woman and 300% more likely to be hired by a man than unattractive women. So if we're applying for a job, we want to be aware of that. But then what is attractive? Anyone can be attractive. Anyone. So we can make it a point to be our most attractive self at all times. Now, there is a very fine line here to be considered. You don't want to go around flaunting your good looks. People will resent that. I mean, if you're gorgeous, other people don't really appreciate the fact that you walk around acting like you are. So you can't be self-centered. You can't be arrogant. You have to portray some caringness, some humility, and most of all, trustworthiness. You also must be capable of handling the responsibilities of the job, so that others don't think you traded on your good looks just to get where you are. So when we're talking about attractiveness, what are the many traits and behaviors that make us more attractive to others? Smiling, good posture, good manners, dressing appropriately, a pleasant speaking voice, graceful movements, and intelligence. So what does that tell us? That tells us anyone can be attractive. You can establish any look you desire by determining your objective, making a plan, and visualizing the you that you want others to see. And if you don't feel attractive right now, act as if. Act as if you already are the person you want to become. And present yourself with style and with purpose. You know, one of the things that makes us attractive is really good posture. How do we stand? How do we sit? How do we walk? We need to walk as though we have somewhere important to go. We need to walk as though we are who we think we are, so that we give away the confidence of what we are and how we feel about ourselves. You know, the way we present ourselves pretty much tells people the way we feel about ourselves. I was walking behind a lady on the street the other day, and she kind of was all hunched over, and she had on her old green t-shirt, and I felt like she didn't feel like she was very important. And you could just tell by looking at her, because her body language said that she didn't feel very important. You know, people can tell how we feel when they see us walk. I mean, even if they see us from a block away, they can pretty much tell how we're feeling about ourselves. And you know, even though body language is the first language we all learned, most of us aren't consciously aware of it on a daily basis. Our body language is made up of our physical characteristics, our facial expressions, posture, and mannerisms. It is reflexive and often involuntary language. I have heard it said it is more difficult to lie with our body language than with our speech. We can learn to use our body language effectively. Mannerisms like nail biting, lip chewing, hair twisting, and leg jiggling say you aren't confident. They say you aren't confident. When you sit still, when you're more still and you're not picking at things, you're not twisting your hair, jiggling your leg, you look like you're more sure of who you are. Dangling your shoe is also distracting, and it appears as though you're trying to be seductive. You've seen women cross their legs and dangle their shoe. Some of them can get it really going there. Powerful people don't fidget. They sit still. Their body language is slow, controlled, and purposeful. They know how to send effective nonverbal messages to those with whom they come in contact. They know that attractiveness comes from attitude. They know that it attracts people to them to have a more confident, powerful attitude. Body language falls into a category known as visual poise. Visual means that which we see. The word poise means in balance. So we want to keep our visual self in balance. If we are going to make a powerful impression on others, we need everything they see about us to be in balance. Think about it. When you see a person from a distance, the first thing you see is the person's silhouette. This tells more about the person than most people can even imagine. Her overall posture, how she stands, and how she positions her body tells others who she believes herself to be. You can spot winners or losers 20 feet away. Their posture clearly indicates how they feel about themselves and their confidence level. In the book, The Magic of Believing, the author, Claude M. Bristol, states, "The very way you walk, the way you carry yourself, your talk, your manner of dress, all reflect your way of thinking. A slovenly carriage is an indication of slovenly thinking, whereas an alert, upright carriage is the outward sign of inward strength and confidence. When you exhibit outwardly, you are inwardly." Let's think about that again. What you exhibit outwardly, you are inwardly. You are the product of your own thought. What you believe yourself to be, you are. I agree with him. How do you feel about that? Let me know at judy@judymario.com. You know, listeners, every show I do comes from you, and the things you have to say are really important to me. I want to be sure we talk about what's on your mind. So be sure to write me, judy@judymario.com. And remember, I spell my name with an I, J-U-D-I, @judymario.com. See, the nonverbal message you send comes from two sources, body language and image. To get your message across and make a favorable impression, you must demonstrate what you mean with purposeful movement and appropriate nonverbal communication. Dr. Albert Mehrabian's research. Now, Dr. Albert Mehrabian was a professor at UCLA, and he wrote a book called Silent Messages after he did 20 years of research on the communication process. And in that research, he tells us that 55% of our ability to get our message across to other people comes from our nonverbal communication, what others see about us. So to some of you, what we're talking about today is going to seem very, very basic. And even though some of us know these things, we occasionally fall into bad habits unless they're brought to our attention. So be conscious of this and always remember to keep your body language in mind. Keep it in mind. And remember that what people see about us is made up of so many things besides just our posture. So other things that we're going to be discussing about attractiveness Or how can we make ourselves more attractive? You know, image is a tool. It's a tool for making ourselves more attractive, for attracting people to us. Our clothing. Our clothing is one way a person evaluates another person. If we're careless about our attention to our clothing, others intuitively pick up unintended and potentially confusing messages from our physical presence. Dressing ourselves is an invaluable tool to communicate who we are and our intention, whether it is authority, professionalism, friendliness, gentleness, or warmth. It is impossible to not communicate. So we're communicating something. Let's make sure that the message we're communicating is the message that we want people to get. If we're overlooked in a crowded room, we are visually conveying to others either that we wish to fade into the background or we are unapproachable. As I've had a challenge with my weight most of my life, I would sometimes try not to be noticed. And when I was going through one of my larger clothing size experiences, I was telling a friend of mine how unhappy I was with the way I looked in my clothing. And the truth is, I just kind of didn't have an attitude of importance because I didn't feel good about the way I looked, and I really didn't want other people to see me looking that way. And then this friend of mine gave me a marvelous piece of advice. She said, "Honey, if you can't hide it, decorate it." Well, think about that. If we are attractive, well-groomed, and charming, people don't sit around guessing how much we weigh. So, I've been decorating it ever since. When we receive any kind of unwanted advances, it could be because we're communicating an unintended message. If this is happening to you, hire an image consultant to assess your body language and assist you with selecting a more powerful wardrobe. In addition, learn to be more assertive in your verbal communication. We are each responsible for the way others respond to us. Our visual presence always talks, and it's one of the most overlooked but significant expressions of our personal power and our uniqueness. So select your wardrobe with care. Select your wardrobe with a great deal of care. Quality shows. Quality shows both in people and in clothing. It is important to your career for you to consider purchasing quality clothing. People who know the difference will recognize that you know the difference too. It is better to have fewer pieces of well-made quality clothing than lots of clothing that is poorly made or too trendy. Solid colors are the wisest choices for your wardrobe, especially your professional wardrobe. If you have a high-quality suit, like a man or a woman, in either navy, gray, black, or taupe, it will be appropriate for almost any professional occasion and can be easily accessorized. That was the reason that women used to always have at least one little black dress in their wardrobe, because it was basic, it could go anywhere, and it could be easily accessorized, so it could be dressed down for the office, or dressed up for going out in the evening. And you can always add drama with brightly colored accessories. If you watch the top people in your industry and see what the leaders wear, that'll help you determine what is appropriate for where you are now and where you want to go. Now, I know in some of the technical fields, people today live in their jeans and their plaid shirts or they're very, very casual clothes, but that depends upon what your job is. And if you really want to get ahead, you need to look the part of the person who would be at the top of that particular industry. And you also want to choose fabric as well as the style and the color when you're choosing items for your wardrobe. You don't want to buy any clothing that wrinkles very easily. You can test the fabric. You know, when you're buying something, go into the store and test the fabric by squeezing the material in one hand, and when you let it go, check to see if it's wrinkled. If it is, it will rapidly wrinkle when you wear it, so it's not a good choice. And I know that some of the more expensive fabrics do wrinkle very easily, but you know, when you're feeling wrinkled and you don't feel like you're looking at your very, very best, it doesn't give you an attitude of attractiveness. When you feel good about what you have on and what you're wearing, you're going to feel better about who and what you are, and then you're going to walk with that better posture and sit with that better posture, and you're going to feel good about who you are. This is Judy Mario, and our topic today is Attractiveness is an Attitude. And we're talking about how we can be more attractive. Also, you'll want to think about your attitude in many other ways. I have put out a CD. It's entitled Attitude is a Choice, and Attitude is a Choice, as is Attractiveness. In this program, I offer some basic insights to help you choose the right attitude to overcome life's difficulties, to build positive relationships, and to discover new opportunities. It also includes 10 steps to making an incredible difference in your life, and you can find that at judy@judymario.com. Just write to me, judy@judymario.com, or go on the website, judymario.com, and go to the products page, and you'll see many of the products that are offered by Turning Point International, which include my book, You Are More Than Enough, which is where I get the ideas for all of the things that we're talking about on this show, along with the ideas that I get from you, for those of you who write to me and tell me what you want to hear about. And thank you for doing that. I really do appreciate you, because without you, I wouldn't have this show. I wouldn't have anybody to talk to. So thank you for letting me know you're there and you're listening. I really, really appreciate it. And listeners, too, you know, I have a new online magazine. And you may or may not know that, but it's a fabulous magazine. It's called Choices. It's online. And you can find that. Let me just give you a short version of the way you can get to it. It's http://bit.ly/15YTSV. That's http://bit.ly/15YTSV. If you'd like to take a look at our spring issue of Choices magazine, and our new summer issue will be coming out next week. So take a look. I think you'll love the magazine. It's got a lot of good authors in it. The people who have written for our Life Choices book series write for the magazine as well. And there's some great information there. This is Judy Mario, Choices Radio. And today we are talking about attitude. Attractiveness is an attitude. And so far, we've discussed the way we walk, the way we stand, the way we sit, and we talked a little bit about clothing. Let's talk about shoes, too. Shoes are a must. You need to have shoes. They'll probably be the most expensive of your accessories, and they should fit well and be the best you can afford. You know, if our shoes don't fit well, if our feet hurt, how are we going to have an attitude of attractiveness? I can't tell you how many days I've had to stand up in high heel shoes and deliver seminars to groups around the country. And by the end of the day, my feet hurt up to my knees. So we have to learn to select our shoes for practical use as well as for fashion mileage. Or you'll be sorry later. And I'll tell you, too, it shows in your face. It shows in your face. However, we can't get crazy and wear flip-flops to work or hiking boots or tennis shoes that feel like they're a lot more comfortable, but they're not really appropriate in the work situation. So be sure that you're wearing the right shoes, the professional shoes that make you look the part and that you feel about, you know, that you feel good in. But be careful. I know some of us feel good in stiletto heels, but be careful wearing those to work because they give a totally, totally wrong message. And if you're going to wear open-toed shoes, be sure you have a regular pedicure. I mean, men as well as women, take care of your feet and have that pedicure. I know men that say, oh, you know, that's kind of a feminine thing to do. But let me tell you what, nobody wants to look over and see your ugly feet that are unclean, have calloused heels, they dry and crack, and that's incredibly unattractive. And it could tell other people that you don't pay attention to details. So remember that all of these things are part of what make you attractive, and every little detail is important. Now, for business, for both men and women, the classic pump is the best shoe. Women's will have a heel, of course, and men's won't, but leather is the most practical type of shoe. It's a natural material. It allows your feet to breathe, and it's easier to maintain than cloth or suede or plastic or even patent leather, for that matter. The best way to remember what time of year to wear which colors of shoes is to remember that your shoes should never be lighter in color than the color of the hemline of your skirt or pants. A black dress with white shoes screams, I don't know how to dress myself. White shoes are worn with white clothing only, and that applies to men too. If you're going to wear white shoes, wear white pants. Your best bet for a professional image is to choose shoe colors from the basic color range, which includes navy, black, cordovan, and taupe. And women, wear hosiery when you're wearing professional clothing. If you work in a very conservative environment, that hosiery is so important, and you should wear hosiery that is skin-toned. Colored hosiery should be worn only with the same color clothing, such as if you're going to wear black nylons, it goes with a black dress or skirt or pants. Navy nylons with navy clothing. Never wear dark hosiery when you are wearing light-colored clothing or shoes. Take a look at the hosiery at the very top women executives in your field. Take a look at theirs. That will give you an idea of what is acceptable in your industry. And remember, it is always better to err on the conservative side and be overly cautious than not cautious enough. Also, jewelry. Jewelry tells people about how attractive you feel. And your most important business accessory is your watch. Most of us wear a watch every day, and usually we wear the same one for business and for social functions. Making it important to wear a watch that is classic in style as well as functional. You want to wear a watch that looks like a nice piece of jewelry. It's basic and it's attractive. Any earrings you wear, well, they should go in your ears. Earrings should be simple yet elegant. And as your earrings are near your face, you don't want them to be so flashy they attract people's attention to your earrings and away from what you're saying. Now, you do want to wear chandelier-style earrings, dangling earrings, for your social world. That's a totally different thing altogether, because they produce movement and they attract attention, and that's what you want when you wear big earrings, but not when you're doing something serious, when you're taking care of business. So wear a nice big necklace or a piece of very attractive necklace at the neck, something very attractive right at the neck, because that gives a message of power. Thin chains and feminine pendants will not give the same message. You know, men wear ties, and that's their way of showing power, because when they're very dressed up and they have on a tie, that's about the most powerful that men dress. So women don't want to wear ties because it looks like we're imitating men, and we don't want to imitate men. We just want to be attractive. So the way we show power is to wear a powerful necklace, or to wear a brooch or a pin at the neckline or lapel or on the shoulder. Those all draw the person who's looking at you, it draws their eye right to your face. And that's what you want. You want people to look at you so that they hear what you're saying. People often ask me, how much jewelry should I wear? Or how much jewelry is too much? Well, there's an easy rule to follow, It's called the 14-point accessorizing method. And any eye-catching feature is considered a point. So to be well accessorized, you should wear fewer than 14 points. And this will give you an understated, uncluttered appearance. Now, if you'd like a more detailed list of what points, what items count for what points, you can just email me, judy@judymario.com, and I'll be happy to send you a list of things that you can add up for having points. And then that way you'll know that if you're under 14 points or not. But just remember this. The main thing is that any eye-catching feature is considered a point. So that would be like each color in your outfit, your shoes, stockings that are in any color other than skin tone, watches, chains, bracelets, a pair of earrings, glasses. I mean, these all count for points. And you just don't want to have more than 14 points. So if you'd like a complete list of these items, just email me, judy@judymario.com, and I'll be happy to send you that list. If you have 14 or less points, you can be assured you're accessorized adequately. And if you have 14 or more points, take off some of your accessories. Less is always more. Now, in your social life, that's a different matter. If you want to totally accessorize yourself with 15 bracelets and a bright handbag and bright shoes, that's another whole matter, because that's about having fun. And having fun is a part of attractiveness. So you want to be sure to dress that makes you feel good. You want to dress in a way that makes you feel really, really attractive. And don't forget about your grooming. Grooming is so important to being attractive to other people. Even the most expensive and best-fitting clothes won't overcome a bad image if you haven't cared for them properly. Make sure your clothing is clean and pressed, and keep a lint brush nearby in your desk or in your car so you can remove any lint your clothing may pick up during the day. Polish your shoes regularly and make sure they're in good repair with no worn-out heels or soles. And when your shoes need new heel tips, take them to the shoe repair immediately. And also remember this, even if you bathe every day, your clothing will smell of body odor if you don't have them cleaned regularly. There's one gentleman that belongs to our speaker group that very often we would find ourselves moving away from him because he smelled so strongly of body odor that we would nearly gag. And it wasn't a one-time occurrence. This happened quite often. And so one of the ladies actually told him, she said, you really need to do something about this. I mean, you're bathing, okay, but your clothing is collecting these smells and people don't want to sit near you. And, you know, the man was a smart man and he was fun to be around and he had a great personality, but he just smelled bad. So after she told him, he got it fixed. And, you know, his life has changed because now he's more attractive to people. People want to be with him because he's fun. But they couldn't be near him because he just had such a smell. So you have to remember that attractiveness is so much more than just the way we look. It's the way we walk, the way we stand, the way we sit, whether or not we have freshness. You want to have an appearance of freshness as though you're clean and neat and that your hair is healthy. You want to look healthy. That's attractive to people. And put a fabulous smile on your face. People are attracted to people who smile and who speak to them and who let them know how important they are. And ask the other person questions. Talk about them. Don't talk about yourself. Don't get so hung up on yourself that you're not attracted to other people. Remember, many traits and behaviors make us more attractive to others. Smiling, good posture, good manners, dressing appropriately, a pleasant speaking voice, graceful movements, and intelligence. These are all characteristics of attractiveness. And attractiveness is an attitude. You can establish any attitude that you want by determining your objective, making a plan, and visualizing the you that you want others to see. And always remember, you are more than enough.